playing with the law, laws of the gospel. For this reason, he will speak to this people with stammering lips and by another tongue, to whom he said, "This is the rest, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they did not want to hear. Thus the word of the Lord will be to them, commandment upon commandment, commandment upon commandment, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, so that they will go and fall backward, be broken, and be snared and caught. Isaiah 28, verses 11 through 13. When the prophet Isaiah rejected the critics who accused him of permanently being critical, we should pay attention to the manner in which he removed the crown from under their charge, and how in a new prophecy he responded for the sake of their conversion, if that was possible. "No, no," he answered, "oh no, my profession is not to be a critic. But I bring you back to the law of God, and that was given to you by and for the gospel of sovereign grace, which testifies of itself in Israel in all its services, laws, and ordinances. Leading you back to the commandments, I will also bring you back by that to the gospel and to freedom. You, however, freebooters of the temple, you are playing a game with the law, and by that you gamble away your freedom. By that you gamble away the gospel. At this moment you speak against me as men who are drunk, and with a double tongue you attach onto the walls of the temple your satires of commandment upon commandment, commandment upon commandment, rule upon rule, rule upon rule. Here Isaiah has something, there Isaiah has something. But soon the time is coming in which your licentious parties are gone, and when the double tongues of saturated priests and experienced prophets of folly will be silent. For soon the Assyrians will come, and they will have no mercy. They will speak very unfamiliar and strange words in their barbaric language. In a foreign language, commandos will sound forth from heathen mouths in and around the temple, and you will all be dismissed by the tyrant to come, and your hall of celebration will be cleared in a moment." "Yet do not say then," continued Isaiah, "Ah, indeed, that is what the people do. These are the capricious chances of war, as if the matter be settled by that. For in all these things the Lord seeks his rights which you trampled. When soon the Assyrians will fill the temple with their commands in a foreign language, then it is the Lord who does that. He himself allows the temple songs of praise to be overshouted by military commands from barbarian mouths. For Isaiah saw in the Assyrians the rod of God. He spoke about that all the time. The premise of the prophet is even one of the most interesting questions in the interpretation of Isaiah's prophecy. People have written complete monographs about this topic. Exactly because of that, it is to Isaiah's understanding a punishment of the Lord that curt commands will soon sound from the mouth of heathens in the temple. The language of drunk priests and prophets was not appropriate in the temple. That was a strange language in this place. For, if things were correct, one would speak in the temple house only holy language from the word and in prayer. But that foreign Assyrian language did not belong in the temple either. For it was only appropriate to hear there the holy language of priests, who said prayers, and of prophets, who gave instruction and read from the Torah, in accordance to the precepts of the fathers. Thus God punished the strange language, which from within had polluted the temple, and by another strange language from without had defiled the temple. The judgment of the massive dismissal that the Assyrians gave the drunk priests and prophets of Jerusalem was also a letter of dismissal from the Lord to them. It was an informal dismissal without honor from the side of the Assyrians, but it was a formal deposition from their office in judgment as a result of a proverb inspired by covenantal vengeance from the side of the Lord. For the Lord had once told these official office bearers that the doctrines he gave them, the prophets, to teach, and the service which he gave them, the priests, to perform, was gospel, and thus no oppressing law that was abstracted from the gospel. At that time they were all crying to Isaiah, "Man, please quit, for with you it is all commandment and duty, and the forcing of morals." Nevertheless, the Lord had told them in their letter of appointment, "Go on, you man of God, all of it is gospel." That is rest. And rest is Sabbath, gospel, salvation, a gift of grace of the evangelical perception of theocracy. And since the Lord had given his mandate to preach the law in this manner and reveal this tendency in it, also the adversaries of Isaiah, not as a failed or public denial of the gospel, but exactly as a closer effectuality of it, he once also gave them for this reason their formal letters of appointment, in which this evangelical command was actually written in the words, "Cause the weary to rest." They had to be priests and prophets who were sent out before the Christ as his heralds, and had to say already then to the weary, dejected, and distressed people, "Come to him, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and in him, the Messiah, I will give you rest, says the Lord." That had been their actual task, to give rest to the weary and release those who were bound from their captivity. Make it your occupation to reveal the law as the gospel of liberation. Fight against the flesh of this people, so that they no longer resist the Spirit by isolating the law of 10 commandments and 1,000 obligations from the heading in which the Lord indeed said that he is the one who set his people free. But they did not want to do this. They lurked for strange gods and strange people, whose language they gladly spoke. It would be a new cultural domain. And for this reason the Lord soon laid the whip of the Assyrians upon their backs. Then they would hear from the right and the left that strange language and soon be absorbed by that foreign cultural domain. They would hear a barbarian language, yet no longer in their present merrily carousing, but in a bloody reality, commandment upon commandment, rule upon rule, a sharp command here, a sharp command there, rule upon rule, a prison sentence here, a prison sentence there, here a bloodbath, there a bloodbath, here a dismissal, there a dismissal. For he who gambles with the law loses the gospel. He who wants to withdraw himself from the legal area of the law will place himself outside the domain of the gospel. For this gospel itself is basically the merciful way back to that law, which had been given from ancient times. Indeed, from the first day that creation, in a piece of paradise, was bound to its maker in his Sabbath delights of pleasantness. These were defined Sabbath delights, by which people graciously were allowed to enter along the ladder of the office, recognizing themselves by the law and ministerial obedience.